Listen, here's the bottom line today. We need Jesus. How's that for the opening of the message today? We need Jesus. I taught recently about the circumstance that we find ourselves in and kind of laid it out this way. We're feeling instability. The instability, the uncertainties, the lack of knowing. I mean, we're still not sure what's happening with schools and some of those things. But that instability creates anxiety. The anxiety leaves us feeling exhausted, and then the exhaustion really becomes paralysis, mental, spiritual, physical paralysis, to the point that we don't feel like doing anything. I guarantee you, if I were to poll the people in this room or ask you to place a thumbs up in the chat watching online, you probably, there would be many of you that would agree or identify or say, yeah, I feel that way. The simplest task, the smallest things that need to be taken care of or need to be done around the house or with the job or kids, just the smallest task seems to just be so overwhelming. It's like, I'm just too tired to do that. I'm just too tired to think about that. And so we're constantly fighting the fatigue. And hear me, there is reason for concern, but there is not reason to quit. There is reason for concern, but there is not cause to quit. I've come to tell someone today that you don't need to quit. As exhausted as you may be, as paralyzed as you may feel, I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to let go. So what do? I feel all of those things. I'm struggling with those things. What do I do to combat them? What do I do to deal with them? How do I process them? I'm glad you asked. I have a prescription for you today. I've got an RX. I've got something that will work, because in a day when everyone, look at someone socially distanced 6 feet away. You may have to say it a little louder, but say, he's talking to you. Everyone, that's all of us. In a day when everyone needs therapy, day when everyone needs some help, I have the perfect prescription. A prescription is a written direction for a therapeutic or corrective agent. You ready? Not going to give you another pill. I don't want you to take something else to help you sleep or help you to wake up or anything like that. This is not a vitamin. This is not a supplement. It's a prescription, and I guarantee you this prescription will work. You ready for me to write it today? You ready to receive it today? Here it is. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. If you're watching online, gather the kids. This is just like being at the doctor. You're getting good spiritual advice today, good spiritual counsel today, a good antidote for all of the anxiety, a good prescription for all of the challenges and the problems and the pains and the difficulties and everything that you possibly could face. I'm waiting to hear it, Pastor. I know you're hearing it. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the flute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, Pastor Darrell, I'm disappointed. I was hoping for something stronger. No, this is the strongest you can get. Where is the extra strength? This is as strong as you can get. The problem is we've put this down in one of those small bottles, and we've secured the child proof cap on top. We've placed it way back in the back of the cupboard, and we've forgotten about the power of our praise. But I've come on a July summer Sunday to remind everyone in this room and everyone watching online that God is still worthy of our praise. And if you will take this prescription, if you will praise him, if you will magnify him, if you will bless him, if you will get out of yourself, if you will focus on him for just a little while and not focus on the problems or the negativity or the news or the bad day. If you will just praise the Lord, some things are about to look up in your life. It'll look up in your life. I appreciate Pastor Brian leading our ministry moment today. I'm glad God woke him up at 5:58 or 5:57 or 6 a.m. all week long to come up here and have a thought about giving God praise and putting God first with our worship. We didn't discuss what I was feeling all week long. I didn't discuss with worship what I was feeling all week long to come up here and say, hey, this is how I fight my battles. I'm going to win with worship. I'm going to be victorious with praise. Listen, this is a prescribed praise today. This is not something I want you to try for one day. This is something you ought to do every day. This is not something you take for 10 days and then discard the rest. No, you make this a lifestyle, and you praise him, and you magnify him, and you worship him, and everything begins to turn around for the good in your life. Somebody give God praise in this house today. Give him praise in your house today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's a prescription. This is a prescribed praise today. I'm always fascinated. I've taught from it before, and I will again, the different meanings of the word praise that is in this writing, Psalm 150, just in this, but one of those meanings of praise is the word hallel. It means to shine. It means to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish. Clamorous means to cry out, to be loud, to lift your voice, to be clamorously or loudly foolish. What does that look? It probably has a different definition according to every personality type in this room, but I guarantee you, whatever your definition is, it does not include sitting on your hands. It does not include remaining perfectly still. No, if you're going to be foolish today, you got to get out of yourself. You got to get beyond your own personal feelings and opinions and thoughts and ideas, beyond your embarrassment, beyond your shyness. There has to be something in you that cries out to the goodness of God, to rave, to celebrate. It's where we get the word hallelujah. When I say hallelujah, I'm not just saying a word, repeating something the praise team said. No, when I declare hallelujah, I'm saying, Lord, there is no one like you. There is no one beside you. There is no one as great as you. Y'all better not bother me today, because I feel like preaching on a Sunday morning. Somebody ought to have some hallelujah down in the depth of your belly today, because Jesus is worthy. Woo! Wish I had a white coat and a stethoscope. Always struggle with that word a little bit. I bet you can't spell it, and I bet I can't either. Maybe you would take it more serious today if I looked like a doctor writing a prescription. But I'm telling you, a prescription to praise makes all the difference. So why, Pastor Dale, why do we praise like this? Let me give you some reasons today, and these are good reasons. We praise because God asked for it. How's that for simplicity? We praise because God asked for it. I know it's in vogue to question and clap back and argue with everything these days. Anything that said, well, let me go and research that. You don't need to research this. God called for our praise. The Bible said we were created to be to the praise of His glory. That means I was not created to have an opinion. I'm glad I have an opinion. I've got many opinions, but that's not the reason that He created me. He created me because the bird's song was not enough, and then the leaves blowing in the wind were not enough. He created me to worship Him, to praise Him, to magnify Him. We praise Him because He asked for it. Here's this awesome idea in John 3 and verse 30. He must increase. And guess what? I must decrease. We've got that completely backwards in 2020. We are increasing ourselves, our opinions, our arguments, getting better than ever at our clapbacks, while He is decreasing in our lives. Can I teach today? We're allowing the attitude of the day to become the pervasive thought. Man, I watched this happen in 2016, and it was heartbreaking to see church members fall out over politics, and people get so upset, and I get it. There's a whole lot to be upset about, and I'm not saying do not be involved. I'm not saying do not be a voter. I'm not saying do not do your best to do what you can in your community, but you better know right now, I'm not allowing any presidential candidate, any Senate candidate, any gubernatorial candidate to keep me from worshiping God. If you feel yourself getting so mad at church people because of where they stand politically, you got to check yourself and say, wait a minute, I got to make sure that I'm always decreasing and He is always increasing. Well, you know, the worst thing I can do in 2020 is show weakness. No, the best thing you can do in 2020 is to get weak in the presence of the Lord, because when you are weak, He is strong. When you humble yourself in the presence of God, God gets so big in your life that all of that mess is like water off a duck's back. I'm going to worship God in spite of what the president says. I'm going to worship God in spite of what the governor does. I'm going to worship God no matter who does what, when, where, or why. Why? Because God will be here long after all of them are gone. And I'm not stumping politically today. I don't do that. I don't tell you how to vote or what to do or what to think. You're a mature people and a blessed people, and you can make decisions. But hear me, I'm not about to lose out with God over an election. Can't do it. Won't do it. Refuse to do it. So we'll preach the kingdom. Not man's kingdom, but God's kingdom. And we're going to praise him because he asked for it. Because see, when you're God, you call the shots. The pervasive thought is, I'll pick and choose what I want of God. But that doesn't work. It doesn't work. Shock. Shock in 2020. Not everything is up to our opinion. I know that's hard to hear because it flies in the face of everything you've heard, everything you're hearing. It was huge in the news this week. Popular news anchors saying that Jesus was not perfect. And that would be one thing if it was one man's opinion of whether or not Jesus was perfect. But he took it a step further and said, Jesus admitted that he was not perfect. Now you're off in false doctrine. I gotta fight back on that. I gotta say, no, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. No, no. I praise him because I know who he is. I know exactly who he is. And yes, people make mistakes all the time. People say things in all of their words. I get it. We're bound to get a word wrong here and there. But if you will just rely on and depend on and make praise your first goal. Listen, if the Lord's got to wake me up at 6 to make sure that I get my brain turned on and moving in the right direction, if he's got to get me up at 5, some of y'all, he got to get up at 2. I don't know, whatever it takes, but I'd be careful praying that prayer. Whatever it takes, Lord, because he may just take you up on the offer to say, hey, whatever time I got to get up to make sure that I get my motor started and my engine running in the right direction. That's what I want to do because I want my day to start with praise, and I want my mind to be set on the Lord, and I want my affections to be on things above instead of down below where things are very murky and blurry. Does anybody believe that giving God praise is the best thing you can do? We praise him because he asked for it. Let me give you another reason. We praise him because praise is our purpose. Praise is our purpose. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, it's about worship. Therefore, my life will never graduate from the need to worship. Never. Doesn't matter how old I get. Doesn't matter how wise I become. Doesn't matter how many levels I experience. I will never graduate from the need to worship. I've heard it said so many times in so many churches across America that praise stuff, that's for the young people. Get the young people on fire. Well, listen, what age does that happen? Is it my 30s? Is it my 40s? Is it my 50s? Is it that magic double nickel AARP number? What is that day that arrives that you say, well, all right, that's my birthday. Thank you for the cake, and thank you. Woo, when I go to church this Sunday, I just get to sit down, fold my arms, and let somebody else do all the praising. No. I get it. You may not be able to run as fast as you used to run. Your dance may not have quite as much hip in it as it used to have. Your groove may be lost somewhere in translation, but that doesn't mean that you are not called to worship. No, praise is still your purpose. It's still the reason that he created you and I. And let me tell you something else. Worship is a witness. Yeah. Hear me what I'm saying. Think about this every time you get ready to post a status on Facebook. Worship is a witness. If your posts are full of cuss words, you're not worshiping, and your witness is terrible. There, I said it. Not mad at anybody. I love you. Love all y'all. But if you're posting stuff, it destroys your witness. Destroys your witness. Why? Because people know who you are. They see what you're going through. They see what you're dealing with in life. And somehow, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, when you're able to praise God, when you're able to keep a smile on, when you're able to say, you know what, the Lord gives and the Lord takes, but I'm going to remember the name of the Lord. I'm going to praise Him regardless. I'm going to worship Him in spite of. My praise is my witness. My praise has a purpose. And they see me worshiping my way through the challenges of life. 1 Peter 2 and 9 is powerful to me, but you are not like that, he said. Like what? You got to back up to verse 8. He talks about a stone of offense. Or a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And he says people are disobedient to the word. But then he comes in verse 9. He said, but you're not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. I don't want to be verse 8. I want to be verse 9. I don't want to be someone's stone of stumbling. I don't want to be someone's rock of offense. I certainly don't want to be disobedient to the word. I want to be of that royal priesthood, that called out one who says, you know what, my praise is going to set me apart. It's not that I'm better than you, Lord. No, my praise makes me better than me. I'm still a mess. I'm still broken. I'm still full of a whole lot of stuff. But when I submit my life to praise, I realize my purpose. So, church, I implore you, let's not become the world in our responses or our reactions, because there is a prescription for that. Let me give you another reason why we praise. We praise because of who He is. We praise because of who He is. This goes without saying, or does it? Do we really know who He is? Are we keeping that at the forefront of our minds and alive in our spirits? Because I have to wonder, where is our reverence for God? Our respect of God? Where is that meaningful reverence and true meaning of holiness in our lives that says, you know what? I can't do that because of God in my life. I have too much respect for who God is to me and for who He's revealed Himself to be in my life that I cannot do that. Alanis Morissette saying a few years ago a question, what if God were one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. The song wasn't original to her, but I understand. I'm not a fuddy-duddy. I like the tune of the song. I understand that we're just trying to make God relatable. We're trying to just ultimately, whether we realize or not, we're trying to reduce Him down to be just like us. But the reality is God is not just like us. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts beyond our thoughts. He is God. And I don't want to become so casual in my interpretation of Him or my expression of him or my thoughts about him that I just, oh man, he's just one of the boys. Come on, dude, let's go in here. No, he's not going in there. Come on, man, let's just do this. No, he's not doing this. That's why there is that check in your spirit. That's why there is that conviction that rises up in your heart. And now we're against conviction. Listen, I don't know what to do with this modern church. I really don't, because I'm an old soul. But I need that conviction in my life to remind me of who it is that God is in my life. God is big and powerful. Y'all still with me? We can't reduce him down to just one of the guys or one of the girls, because Psalm 145 and 3 is still true. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That doesn't mean that you won't ever search and find it. It means you will never get to the end of it. He is so great that you will never exhaust him. No matter how long you live for him, no matter how long you serve him, no matter how much you see him do in your life, you will never get to the end of God. That's why if you will allow him, he will keep revealing himself to you. He will keep showing himself to you. And every year you can say, man, I learned something about God this year that I never knew. I've been at this a long time, but I just saw something else that I've never seen before. Some of us need to go back to school. We need to go back to God's school. We need to go back to Holy Ghost school. We need to go back to praise school and say, hey, I want to keep learning. I don't know it all. I didn't learn it all then. I don't know it all now. I want to know everything I can know about the Lord in my life. Because God is big. He's big. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's not even entered into our hearts, as dreamy and as fantasizing as they can be. It's not even entered into our minds how big or how great God can be. You've not seen anything yet watching at home. God is so big and so powerful. Let me give you another reason we praise. We praise because of what he's done. We praise because of what he's done. Has he done anything for you? Anybody in the room, has he done anything for you? I'm gonna tell you, a trip down memory lane does my praise good. Just thinking about the goodness of the Lord, looking back over my shoulder and reminiscing some of the things that I've been through, some of the things that I've dealt with, some of the things that have happened in my life, it does my praise good. Revelation 12 and 1 said that they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I've got the blood in my life. It's been applied to my life. If that hasn't happened to you, give me just a moment and I'm going to lead you today to get the blood applied to your life, but also by the word of our testimony. Does anyone have a testimony in this room? At the risk of bothering you just a little bit, from a socially distanced, safe 6 feet away, would you just look at somebody in the other section and just tell them something that God has done for you? Is there a testimony anywhere in this room? It may be that he kept you. It may be that he healed you. Maybe that he sustained you. It may be that he blessed you. But I need to testify. Man, the other day, we were in a new home just a few weeks ago, and you know, we moved here with no furniture, and we left everything behind, forsook all to come to the church, Covington, my Lord. And Only thing we hadn't been gotten rid of are them dogs, and we're working on that. Well, I'm working on that. They're fighting me. I guess they're going to win. But anyway, so we've been piecing stuff here and there, and this Facebook Marketplace, Kristen kept trying to get me to look at it. I wouldn't fool with it. That's just somebody's garage sale. But I learned it's true that one man's junk is another man's treasure. One man's trash, another man's treasure. So it's amazing the stuff that people put for sale on Facebook Marketplace. And the other day, Kristen, do you want to tell this? You kept speaking like you needed to testify. You ought to tell this. But she was wanting something particular, something specific, and she had people come look for it, and people come measure, and people come give a quote, and it was way too much. And all of a sudden on Facebook Marketplace, there is somebody selling the exact thing we need, the exact size we need. What are the chances of this? And it's for a fraction of the cost. And so we're looking at this. I'm holding this thing up. And she's about to do a dance in the living room. She said these words. She said, "I feel like I need to testify about this. Feel like I need." She's been telling everybody that to listen. Why? Because when you get a testimony, when God has been good to you, He didn't intend for you to keep that a secret. Well, that's just not the kind of thing I talk about on Facebook. That's the problem. That's just not what I'm known for. Again, that could be the problem. If you tell somebody how good God's been to you and their response is, "Huh? I didn't even know you went to church." Listen, you got to hit the reset button in your life and start testifying of God's goodness. What would happen? What would happen if the few hundred people in this service online today would go into our communities, whatever that means for you right now? Maybe it's a trip to the grocery store to pick up food, or you're having to work outside. Whatever it is, what would happen if the few hundred that are connected to the Church Covington that are hearing this word today would say, "You know what? I'm going to purpose in my heart today that I am going to testify for the next 7 days. I'm going to testify of God's goodness. I'm going to testify of God's blessing. I'm going to testify of God's power in my life." Who would it influence? Who would it bless? Who would it help? What difference would it make in someone's life? We're talking about all these positive test and probable test. That's the news this week. It's fascinating to me. It's amazing to me that for every positive test of coronavirus, they assume 16 probable positive tests. That means if I have the virus, they assume that there are 16 other people associated with me that have the virus too, even though they haven't been tested. Not a political thing. I'm not shilling for anybody. This is in the news. You can study this for yourself. It's one of the reasons these numbers are going up, 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 and the deaths are not going up, up, up. So take that principle and apply it to your testimony. What if for every one testimony, it affected 16 other people? We're talking about how fast a virus spreads. Let's talk about how fast the goodness of God can spread. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Nothing left to do but for us to do it. We've been on the defensive long enough. We've been sitting over here wondering, well, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to have church, not have church. What are we supposed to do? We've waited and waited and waited. Listen, I'm I'm through sitting on the sideline. It's time to get on the field and make some decisions. It's time to get on the field, kick the devil in the behind and say, you know what? I'm not following you. You're going to have to follow me, and you're going to have a hard time keeping up because I've decided that my purpose is praise. I know who God is, and I absolutely know what he's done for me. He's been good to me, and I've got a reason to shout. I've got a reason to testify. I've got a reason to declare the goodness of God. Come on, does anybody have a reason to worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 19, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. Some Pharisees of the crowd told him, "Teacher, get your disciples under control." This is in the Message translation. But he said, "If they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them." Shouting praise. I know we don't know if we believe the word of God anymore, but hear me, God is going to get the glory. I've been saying it since March when this thing broke out. Somehow in some way, God is going to get the glory out of this situation. But I'm not letting a rock out worship me. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to put my hands together. I'm going to lift my voice, and I am going to praise the Lord, who is worthy, worthy, worthy. Come on, if you believe that at home, you ought to be shouting in your living room. You ought to be saying yes right here in this house. Pastor Darrell, you're just trying to hype us up. Yes, I am. We need to worship God. Let me give you one more reason. We praise because praise changes everything. We praise because praise changes everything. This is literally the best advice I could give if you need change in your life, if you need a turnaround in your life. What the enemy meant for evil, you've turned it for good. You've turned it for good. Maybe the enemy has meant evil in your life. Maybe he's come with every onslaught, every attack, every obstacle, every challenge, every difficulty you possibly could face. But hear me, worship changes everything. Our thinking is, problem's big, God small. But praise changes your perspective. So let me ask you, what do you need to change? What do you need changed now in your life, right now, today, watching online? If you're bold enough to type it, type it in the comment. I need this changed. Maybe marriage, it may be family, it may be sickness. Maybe your housing situation. Maybe the pain in your back. It may be the diagnosis. Maybe the addiction. What do you need changed in your life right now? In this room, what do you need changed in your life right now? What are we going to do, Pastor? You're going to counsel us? We're going to spend hours in the office? No. I'm not against counseling. I'm for all of that. But we're wasting our time to counsel if we haven't worshiped first. I've learned it's very, very, very difficult to move unspiritual people. It's very difficult. I've got to start with a basis of spirituality. And that only comes when I've spent time doing spiritual things. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I've got it all together. No, we're a church full of imperfect people. Don't have it all together. But we're here. We're in the house. We're declaring what the enemy meant for evil, You've turned it for good. We may walk out into another fresh challenge, difficulty, circumstance. But I promise you, I'm going to walk out armed, prepared, ready for battle. Ready to take a swing at the enemy. Not wait and see, well, let me see what he does today. Let me see what he tries today. No, I'm on the offense. I'm on the offensive. My stepfather, Elmo, a few years ago, he wanted a handgun. And so we were at a gun show, and he purchased a handgun and ended up being not exactly what he wanted. He wanted something that was really easy to use at home and something maybe my mom could use if she needed to. And my sweet mother, 4'11", she'll probably throw the gun at somebody, but she's probably not going to shoot the gun. And so it was a little complicated. And so on one of my recent trips back home, he brought the gun to me, and I looked at the receipt. It was bought in 2013. It had never been shot one time. 2013 to 2020, it's never been shot. But there's the gun. There's two boxes of ammo, and it's been under my desk. It's been under my desk for months. No, y'all don't have a key to my office. It's not there anymore. But just this last week, you'll appreciate this story, Austin. Just this last week, I loaded that gun and went out here behind the church. I didn't really pay attention to the fact that there were 12 or 15 guys on the basketball court. And I went behind the brick building, and about as fast as I could, I unloaded the magazine of 7-8 rounds, whatever it was. Got back in my car and started driving because I was headed home with my gun that's finally been shot since 2013. And when I got up and could see the basketball court, there were guys behind poles. There was a guy kind of ducking behind a truck. I felt so bad, but I was laughing at the same time. And I know some of the guys, they recognized me, and I rolled my window down, and he said, "Pastor, was that you?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I had a gun that had never been shot." He said, "Okay." All right. No, I got my gun loaded. I got my worship gun loaded. I got my praise gun loaded. Lord, I see Granny back there. I'm sorry. My sweet Baptist granny, I've scared her half to death today preaching like this. Every time you come, I preach like this. Is God trying to tell you something or me? What you reckon it is? Explain that, Nikki. I got my gun loaded. Got my gun loaded. I'm not hiding somewhere waiting for something to happen to me. Get on offense in your life, in your home. Get on offense and declare, "I'm armed with a testimony. I have full knowledge of who God is and what God's done in my life." And worship changes everything. I'm about to change some stuff in my house. Anybody, you ready for something to change in your house, in your life? Come on, give God a praise in this room right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Listen, our team is going to sing in just a moment, but I want to pray with you if you're online, if you're in this room. I don't know what you need changed today. I don't know what needs to turn in your life. Why don't you stand with me if you're in the room? Stand with me if you're at home, if you want to. Complete reverence to God for just a moment. No going in or out for just a moment. Just feel God in this room. Hallelujah. I don't know what you need changed in your life, but I'm telling you, God can change it right now. If it's the addiction, if it's challenge, if it's the depression, if it's the anxiety, if it's the debilitating discouragement in your life, I break the chains over you, command you to be free in Jesus' name. You don't have to be bound another day, another moment. You can be set free, can be delivered. But hear me, the spiritual do spiritual things, and if you're needing to get spiritual, then it's time. Repent of your sins, say yes to Jesus. If you need to pray that with me today, just say, Jesus, I've got to have you in my life. This prescription is for me. I need to take this to heart. I need to take this for my life, because I need some things changed. I need some things turned around in my life. So today I repent of my sin. Today I denounce evil and wrong and sin and addiction and depression. I say yes to deliverance and power and your Holy Spirit and baptism. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you, just that simple. If you prayed that with your heart, God has forgiven you of your sin. And today is a new day in your life. Today is a new day. If you're in this room, today is a new day in your life. If you prayed that prayer with me. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to sing in just a moment, but I need to warn you of the side effects of this prescription. You know, they got the side effects. They want you to take this pill, but then they tell you, you know, it'll probably cause death. They say it real fast, barely understandable, but there's side effects. If you're taking this prescription, you're probably going to have mood swings. Your negative mind is going to become a positive mind. You're probably going to have some lightheadedness. Probably some lightheadedness that goes with this. What happened? The heavy is gone. I've traded my ashes for something beautiful. And the heavy, foreboding, the arresting, debilitating, depressive thoughts are gone. And now I'm feeling light in the Holy Spirit. The enemy meant for evil, you've turned it for good. Usually you take a prescription, it'll mess with your taste. It'll mess with your taste. They say the coronavirus, it will take your taste temporarily. This prescription, it'll mess with your taste too. Because you can taste and see that God is good. Is this corny enough for my kids? Here's one my wife will love. You'll have sudden weight loss if you take this prescription. I got y'all's interest now, huh? Sudden weight loss. I can lay aside every weight. Amen. And the sin that so easily besets. Side effects. There's side effects when you praise God. It's going to lift you. It's going to change you. It's going to help you. Come on, team. Will you lead us today? If you want to find your distance, your room around an altar.